This evening is really introducing you to a very dear and wonderful friend of mine. You're already very familiar with him because you all know him as Pastor Leonard. But it's like saying we're with Reverend Tim tonight. There is another name, but none of us can say it. So he's going to say it to you himself.
Kabase.
Have a go at that. How was that? It wasn't very good, was it?
No, better.
No tongue clicks. So you have to click your tongue when you do that kabashi thing. Yes.
Kabashi.
Very good. And perhaps you'd like to bring them a greeting, say good evening, and it's nice to be here in your own language.
Sanibonani kumnandi ukuba lapha.
And you all know that was good evening. It's nice to be here. So you're linguists already. Leonard, why don't you tell us about Embo, which is in the Valley of a Thousand Hills, a beautiful but undulating part of KwaZulu-Natal. Tell us how many people live there and what are the main challenges?
The population is 62,000. The main challenge is it's a HIV and AIDS epidemic, which leaves behind high rate of orphaned children. Again, the rate of unemployment is so high, and that's why the village is faced with so much of poverty.
Mm-hmm. And I think your wife began a church there in Embo some years ago, maybe 9-10 years ago. Tell us about how the church started there.
Well, that time, many years ago, I was working in Johannesburg, and my wife started the church in our sitting room in my house. There were 6 people there. The time I was working in Johannesburg, I joined the church called Maranatha Community Church under the leadership of Pastor Derek Stone, who is with the Lord now. The church equipped me, which I believe God was preparing me to work together as a team with my wife. Today, after a long period, then I prayed with my pastor to get a job so that I can work together and with my wife and make it different into our community, which we believed God has called us to make a difference to the valley. Later on, I got a job in Pinetown, and then we work as a team with my wife. Today, we have 750 people in the church.
I was expecting a sort of, ooh. Interesting. So in nine years, you've grown from 6 people to 750. That's great. And I know that you and Gladys began to sense, as you were starting this church, that God also wanted you to not just have people in your home, but to reach out to people. Tell us what you began to do.
We began in fact, our vision is based in the scripture, which is found in Matthew chapter 25. There's a verse in verse 45, which says, whereby Lord Jesus Christ said, if you do the least to the, whatever you do to the least, you have done it to me, like providing to the needy people, which we do in our community. We do like a food parcel, although we cannot meet all of them. And then it says if you like visiting those that are in prison, yeah.
So that's visiting what you began to do.
Visiting the sick, and this is what we are doing.
And very quickly, I think you found that very tiring because you were doing this on your own. You were working at the time and visiting people in the evenings, washing them, bathing them, feeding them. Yeah, tough. And so what did you do eventually? You called some people in the church to help.
That's correct. In fact, I was encouraged by one of the nursing sister who was my prayer partner, where I used to work in the company called Imana Foods. So at one stage, she asked me, what will happen if I should I die with the vision that we are carrying in Embo? I said, I don't know. And she said, I must go home and think about it. I asked my wife, she couldn't have answer either. Then the next day I asked her, and she said, what will happen? The vision, will die. So, and then she gave us, she gave me the solution that I must encourage the people within the church to do what we are doing, of which we did. And today we have some volunteers, which are, we call them caregivers. With the support of a MAI, they get a salary a month.
So they have a team of people who go and care for people in their own homes, who give them advice on hygiene, on diet, on sexual health, who bathe them, who help feed them, and make sure they're taking their treatment if they are when they're HIV positive. Can we get the pictures up that we had just for a moment? Oh, that's, yes, okay, that's Embo again. Let's have our the next picture, could we? Because there are some challenging situations. This is a very typical home, as you've seen before, and it's an extremely poor community. Let's have our next slide, because there's also some fantastic things happening as a result of what this church does. Tell us, first of all, how does the government feel towards what you're doing?
The government officials are very much impressed of what the church is doing within our community. So in such a way that our church is regarded as a role model. So the Department of Health have approached us, myself and Sister Joyce, if we could train the other caregivers that are working under under our government. And then they also pay...
Just hold on a moment. These people don't look impressed enough. Did you hear what he said? The government actually is so impressed with what their caregivers are doing, who've been trained to do this by the church, that they're asking the church to train government caregivers in other parts of the country. That's great, isn't it? The government comes and... Okay, carry on. They're impressed now.
Yeah. Okay, and then our government have taken some of our caregivers to be paid by to work under the government, to be paid by our government. Although Sister Joyce Mkhize, who is who's the supervisor of these caregivers, is still working with these caregivers. But these caregivers are paid now by our government and no more paid by MAI.
That's great, isn't it? They're now paying for some of these caregivers. And we were really excited about that because actually one of the challenges for this place is that their mother church and Medic Assist International bought them a vehicle a while ago so they could take people, urgent cases, to a hospital or clinic. The supervising nurse works half time. And how old is she?
She's 74 years.
She's 74, and she was driving the ambulance up and down these slopes at the age of 74. And then when she wasn't working, if there was a desperate need, they would phone Pastor, and they would say, Pastor, stop preparing your sermon for Sunday. Come and do something useful. Would you drive the ambulance? So that was making demands on his time that weren't fair. So now we're able to employ a driver for the vehicle, who's a young chap that the clients really love and appreciate. So that's really exciting too. And tell us about, you remember it, you see, we spend lots of money on publicity. That video was not very good quality, was it? That was just me. But the lady in the dark room, do you remember her? That you could hardly see. That's her at the very back of that room in a sort of wheelchair. You can't make out the wheelchair very well either. Tell us about her. What's her name? And tell us her story.
Okay. Her name is Nomusa. She was cared by one of the caregivers named Ngane. At one stage, she asked Ngane why she's so much interested to help her. Then Ngane started to share the love of Christ to her, because Nane herself is also HIV infected. So she shared the good news of Christ. Later on, Nane invited me to come and read the scripture to Nomusa. Eventually, Nomusa's mom also wanted to know what impressed Nane to care for her daughter. Nane did the same, give testimony what Christ did into her life. And then at later stage, then they called me to come and share the good news. So the mother, the grandmother, now started to call the neighbors and other people around the area to come and listen the good news. So at present, we have a home group that is running there every Thursdays.
Isn't that great? They have one room, and the second room is through that curtain at the back. Can you see the hole in the wall? There's a curtain there. That's where I was filming, because Namuza has her bed there. It's just enough space for a bed, and that's it. But they're filling it with people coming, because the granny was running along the little lane saying, "You've got to come and hear why they're doing this." That's great. And there's even, I know you got very excited because recently something else happened to Namuza's mother.
A few months ago, and Namuza's mom called me privately, sharing that she's not married. They have lived together with her husband for many years, but they're not legally married. To cut the long story short, last month they get married in the church. It was wonderful in such a way that now, because the wedding ceremony took place in the church, so there is another couple that wanted to get married, an elderly couple wanted to get married in December.
It's great, isn't it? Just exciting. But there's tough stuff and sad stuff happening as well. Let's have our next picture. You remember there was another picture of this lady sat on this broken plastic chair. I can't pronounce this lady's name. What's her name? And tell us her story a little bit.
Her name is Nompumelelo.
Can you imagine going out with someone called Nompumelelo? Would never work.
Okay. I'm not going to be in details. Nompumelelo was HIV positive, and she was meant to start the treatment. So for the patient to start treatment, they need to do three seminars in the clinic, whereby they are trained the importance of defaulting the medication, and then and other side effects. So and other stuff, you know. So she managed to do the first seminar and the second seminar, but she couldn't do the third one because, I mean, of the transport cost. Later on, she managed with the help of the caregiver. Then they went to the clinic, and then because they couldn't start the treatment, I mean, do the third seminar on the appointment on the date of appointment. Okay. So now they were advised to start right from the beginning, meaning that they have to do seminar one, seminar two, again and again, which was impossible. So because of the delay and the long process, she ended up dying.
We helped her to get to the hospice, but when 2 weeks after we got back, we discovered that she'd passed away. And did you get that? If someone is found to be HIV positive, they have to do three seminars before they can start treatment. And this lady failed to attend the third seminar and was told, "You have to start from seminar one all over again," which was why she was so weak and ill when we found her. Why is it, Leonard? There are 62,000 people. There's no doctor. There's just our half-time nurse. No clinic. How do they get to clinic? Where's the nearest clinic for these people?
The nearest clinic is in Bothers Hill. One needs to take the transport from Embo.
How far is that?
It's about 20, 15 to 20 kilometers away from Embo.
10, 12, 13 miles, okay.
So there's no direct transport from Embo to the clinic. One needs to take a taxi from Embo to the nearest town called Hillcrest. And then from Hillcrest, now you can take the taxi to Port Asyl Clinic.
And that's expensive, presumably. This is not a taxi like you phone up for in Cheltenham and a nice man comes along with a little meter. This is a 12-seater minibus that doesn't go anywhere until it has 15 to 20 people inside it. And you then get charged and you go to Hillcrest and then you wait around for another vehicle to fill up, another 12-seater minibus to fill up, and then you get to the clinic eventually. And you may or may not get seen that day. And this is the challenge of people who are ill, can't work, and can't afford to make those kind of visits. Pastor, as we've worked with you and helped you to have those caregivers work full time, what's your dream? What's God saying to you?
We wish to have a clinic locally within Embo.
You want to have a clinic within Embo? Let's have our next slide. We've been able to get some plans drawn up for this clinic, and the next slide shows you roughly what it might look like. The first quotations we got were quite extraordinary, but I don't know what it would cost to build a clinic in Cheltenham. Anyone got any ideas about how much it might cost? Maybe 300, 400,000, something like that. We're going to be able to provide this community that has no clinic, no doctor, with this clinic for £65,000, which seems like a lot of money. But actually, excitingly, we already have two foundations that are promising to give us £25,000. So he and I are running around England together. We're kind of looking for finding people with £40,000 in their pocket. And we haven't found one yet. That's a part of the challenge. What would this clinic mean to your community?
We believe it will prolong the lives of people that are affected with such a challenge. And then again, it will reduce the number of deaths because every week we have between 3 to 5 funerals in Embo. Again, we think it will also reduce the number of offended children.
The passage that God's put on our heart for as we're traveling and telling people about this is this two verses from Psalm 145. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. And he's made the people of Embo, 62,000, who have no clinic. Thank you for allowing us to share that need. And if you would like to think about helping, we have some leaflets that we can offer you, only if you ask for it and want to take it away and pray about what God would have you do. We bring people like Leonard's because they have a need, but we also bring them because they have something to tell us and to teach us about what it means to care for a community and to do so much with so little.
Once again, thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you, Pastor Martin, and the rest of the leadership of the church. It's an honor and a privilege for me to stand in this place. I know and I believe God has called myself and my wife to reach people in Embo. But I did not think in my life, because of my poor background, that at one stage I will meet amazing people of God like John, people with a heart and a compassion for people. I thought people that would come to England are people, rich people, or people that are highly educated. I did not think in my life that people like myself will one day stand here and share the good news. So I give honor and praise to God. And thank you for trusting me to stand here. Not everyone would stand in this place. It's an honor and a privilege. And I give all praise and honor to God. The scripture that we read now is such a challenging word of God. Because all in all, this is where we could see Christ walking in this dying world. I'm so happy to see young people tonight serving God in this church. Our youth are dying. Our youth have messed their lives around. Our youth do not want to hear anything about Jesus, who is the light and the hope of our nation. Jesus is calling us to demonstrate his mercy in this world. He's calling us to show who he is and the purpose of coming to this world. I've got something to make this message simple for me. We must remind ourselves what grace did in our lives. Just as the scripture says in Romans 12 verse 2. It reads like this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I have an illustration to make my message clearer. I've got this pencil with me. It's a beautiful pencil. But what touches my heart when I look at this pencil? It is not a pencil if there's nobody holding it. The message that we read just now is impossible without the help of God. Even myself, I don't have strength to love my enemy. No one has strength to pray for somebody who is his or her enemy. No one will pray, no one will bless somebody whom you know that such a person hates you badly. But one needs to allow God and say, Lord, hold me. Lord, lead me. Lord, I'm a failure. Lord, I need your strength. In that way, things that are impossible, they will be possible to do. As long as one avail himself and say, Lord, help me. Lord, lead me. We will be able to love and pray for our enemies. To become a better pencil, you must experience a painful sharpening. As you can see, this pencil is sharp. You need to experience a painful sharpening from time to time. Paul says to another church elders in Acts chapter 20 verse 18. You know that from the day I set foot in the province of Asia until now, I have done the Lord's work humbly and with many tears. As I said, it is not easy to pray and love your enemy, but those that are willing to be sharpened can get strength from the Lord. The possibility to correct mistake is given by using the rubber. Whenever we fail, our Lord Jesus gave us possibility to wipe our failures by taking them to the cross. I was sharing this morning that our church is built next to Shembe Church. There's a church called Shembe Church. This church believes that Shembe, the founder of this denomination, stands on behalf of Christ. And whoever wants to send a request, such request should via Shembe to God, which we are totally against that. Because this, the word of God tells us that our request should be presented to our Lord Jesus Christ, who cares for us. So this pastor hates me and could not pretend. At one stage, it was raining, and in Durban, it could rain. So I was driving my van towards the church, and I met this pastor. And I could sense God said, give this pastor a lift. But my flesh said, no ways. This man don't love me. Lord, you know that this man hates me very well. So how can I give this man a lift? But with the strength of God, I allow myself. I said, Lord, hold me. Lord, hold me. And he gave me strength. And I gave this man a lift. We drive with him. There was peace in the car. He was shocked. He was amazed. And today I'm telling the good news. This man will never pass me without saying, how are you, pastor? How are you, my brother? Today I'm praying for him. Today I love him. This was impossible with my own ability, with my own wisdom. Today I can pray for those that do not love me. In Embo, I was sharing this to our colleagues around UK. Some pastors in Embo do not like our vision. They believe that people that are dying is because of their bad behavior. And we believe that we must demonstrate Christ. We must show grace because we were lost. We were far away from God and God saved us. What we are is through grace. It's not because of our strength. It's not because of our ability. It's not because we are clever than other people, but it's through grace. So they don't love me. They don't love the leaders of the church. But we pray for them. We love them. At one stage, one of these pastors who don't like us because he believes that we are wasting our time for caring for people, his son gets sick. His son was HIV positive. He took his son to the hospital. Then the hospital said, no, he must go back home and die in peace. We could not do anything. Once the level of HIV drops to a set, once HIV and AIDS drop to a certain level whereby they cannot do anything, they rather send you home and die in peace. So he asked his neighbors, what can I do? Then they said, go to Pastor Leonard. He will be able to help you. And he phoned me. I went there and I prayed for his son. And his son we care for his son. With the help of the caregivers, they bathe her son. They give every care to his son. And today, he loved me. Today, he understands why God has called us to the valley of Embo. And I praise God who gives me strength to do his will. The most important part of a pencil is inside it. Our actions should reflect what is inside us. Praying for those that do not love you, praying for your enemy, reflects what is inside your heart, just as Scripture is calling us to do. The pencil, again, had to leave its mark wherever it went. There's a scripture in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. It says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. In closing, the scripture, the word of God, is called us to be perfect. Thank you so much for listening to me. May God bless you.